Hello everybody, and a very happy new year to all. I'd like to read a few verses from Hebrews and also a few verses from John chapter 16. Hebrews chapter 1, a very well known portion of scripture. Hebrews chapter 1 verses 1 to 4. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. And after he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name that he has inherited is superior to theirs. And then in John 16, Jesus, speaking to his disciples, just before he left them, he said, John 16, verse 5, "Now I am going to him who sent me, yet none of you asks me, 'Where are you going?' Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin, and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned." I want to bring a very simple little word this afternoon, and I simply want to talk about listening to God. Listening to God. The older I get, both as a person and as a Christian, the more I appreciate simple things in life. That's probably true of all of us. You know, the more we like things to be simple, because sometimes we can't cope with the complicated. And when it comes to living the Christian life, it really boils down to a few simple truths. It's not complicated, it's a few simple truths. First, we give our lives to Christ and ask him to forgive us. We invite him to come and live in us by his Holy Spirit, which he does. And having done that, then all we need to do is to listen to what he has to say to us and do it. Dead simple. Not always easy, but simple nevertheless. Just listen to what he says to us and do it. So, another thing, I think it's good, and the notes in the program say something similar. I think it's good at the beginning of a year, any year, to sort of do a kind of checkup, a spiritual checkup. And it's, you know, lots of people make New Year resolutions that last for about 2 or 3 days. And no harm in that. It's probably better if you do it for 2 days than for nout. But it's good to sort of kind of look back and look forward and say, "Lord, what can I be better at, or what can I do better this year than last year? Are there some things, areas where I could improve, areas when I can become more like Jesus, or just sort of simple things? Are there simple things that I can do that will make me a better Christian this year than I was last year?" Now, the first point that I want to make tonight is to talk for a little bit about the amazing fact that God wants to talk to us. God actually wants to talk to us. Now, that's one of those simple facts, but it's so simple, we sometimes, you know, just goes over our head. Imagine God wanting to talk to me. If you picked up the phone tomorrow and there's a call comes through and says, Her Majesty the Queen wishes to speak to you. You'd probably drop the jolly phone and either wonder what have I done wrong or why on earth is the Queen. But you know, people like her don't talk to people like us normally. There's nothing wrong with that. The Queen, if she needed to talk to us, she would. But, you know, we don't associate someone in a position of majesty that they want to communicate with ordinary people like me. Now, the Bible says in those verses that we read in Hebrews, God, at sundry times, divers manners, I'm quoting the AV now, he spoke to the fathers through the prophets, but now he has spoken to us through his Son. And we understand. I can understand that. That doesn't give me a problem. God spoke through the prophets. He's spoken through Jesus. The Bible also says that God speaks to us through creation, through the world that he has made. The psalmist said, I look up in the heavens and see the stars, and he's filled with wonder and amazement. Yeah. Now, that's all right. I can cope with that kind of thing, because it seems appropriate that Almighty God would speak to people in those kind of majestic ways. But the thing that I find more difficult to understand, and the sort of, I believe it, but to get it in my heart, is to think that that same omnipotent, almighty God wants to talk to me about the issues in my life, my family, the things that I'm doing this week and this day, that God is interested enough. It seems that those kind of things must be far too small for God to be interested in them. But it's not true. He's interested in them because he's interested in us, and he's interested in us because we're his children. Yeah. You see, when Andrew or Simon phone up and talk or have a chat, I don't go and think, oh, I can't be bothered talking to them. You know, or if they just want to talk about something, you know, just ordinary things, it's no problem. That's what families are about. And we're happy to talk. Now, God loves to talk to me. God is interested in ordinary things. Things that are might seem unimportant to lots of other people, but because they impact upon my life, God's interested in them as well. Now, I want to dwell on this just for a little longer, and to turn it around and try put it in a different way, to emphasize this amazing truth that God should want to talk to me. Suppose for a moment that Jesus was to come back to earth in human form and conduct a series of meetings in some of the big cities of the world. Now, it's not going to happen. He is going to come back, but not in this way. Use your sanctified imagination. Can you imagine the kind of furor there would be? It's only, do you remember just over 20 years ago, the Toronto Blessing?
That's right.
Now, I still think we will never know until we get to eternity just how much good or how little. You know, certainly there was good, but how much and how many lives were actually changed by all of that. But the reality is this, that there were thousands of Christians from this country and all over the world who spent thousands of pounds, probably millions of pounds, traveling to Toronto in order to get something more from God. They were hungry for more from God. Now, that's a good thing. They were hungry for more from God. Now, can you imagine what it would be if Jesus was actually there?
Yeah.
You couldn't get a flight.
Yeah.
You know, I certainly would want to go. I'd want to drop everything.
Yeah.
You know, after Toronto, there was Pensacola. And then there was that place down in Wales. Now, I'm not deriding. It's good for people to be hungry to get something from God. And if they can get something more by going somewhere else, that's fine. But can you just imagine, oh, if Jesus was actually there, I'd want to get as close to the front as I could. And I don't think I would worry about how much it costs. You know, I would really be willing to sacrifice. But you know, he's done a lot better than that. That's why he said in John 16, I'm going away, but it's for your good that I'm going away. Because if I don't go away, the Comforter will not come. But if I do go away, I'll send him. See, the reason Jesus said that was when Jesus was here on earth, he was a human like you and I, even though he was divine, but he was limited to one place at one time. So when he was preaching in Galilee, he wasn't preaching in Jerusalem. And when he was in Jerusalem, the people in Galilee couldn't go and hear him. And he limited him, although he did travel around, he limited himself to that rather small country that we call Israel today. It wasn't not that big. And if you wanted to hear him, then your chances of hearing him just depended mainly on you being in the right place at the right time when he was around. But now, he has given us the Holy Spirit to be with us and in us always. So that we don't have to go anywhere. We can do, but we don't have to go anywhere. We can communicate and listen to God at any time, anywhere. And the amazing thing is, every single person in the world could do that at the same time and still get through.
Praise the Lord.
It's a bit like having a divine radio transplanted or implanted in our hearts. We can tune in at any time and listen to what's on the God program, the real God program.
Yes.
But the secret is, or the key is, we have to tune in.
Yeah.
We have to tune in. It doesn't automatically. God doesn't. You know, I sometimes get frustrated. Maybe again, it's probably old age. You know, where you go to the shop, even Morrison's or somewhere we were in the other day, and there's always music playing. And sometimes it's so jolly loud, I don't mind at Christmas when they're doing a nice Christmas song, but sometimes almost every shop you go into, there's music playing. There's noise, or there's a radio on, or there's something. And sometimes they say, oh, just can't you be quiet for a while? But we have to be able to tune in. But the important point that I'm making is this. The amazing truth that God wants to talk to us, and equally amazing that he has made it possible to talk to us and for us to be able to talk to him and listen to him at any time and in any place. We can do it anywhere, anytime. That's amazing. The second point that I want to make is this. What is the key in being able to listen to God? Well, it's very, very simple. It's simply this. We have to slow down and listen. We have to slow down and listen. Have you ever, I'm sure we all have at times, you know, you maybe you're somewhere and you're listening to sort of two different conversations at the same time. The net result is you get a distorted version of both. You don't get anything clear. You know, it's impossible to listen to two different things at the same time and get a full accurate understanding. And in order to listen to one thing, you have to block out other things. You have to shut them out in order to listen to the one thing. When Jesus was here on earth, He was often under pressure from needy and curious people to give his time to them. But again and again in the Gospels we read how he used to make it a habit, or the habit of his life, to regularly get away from the crowds to be alone with the Father. Often it was early morning, the only time, or late at night when he could do that. But it was Jesus' regular pattern of activity. There was demands and demands and demands, and people said, come here, come and heal this one, come and visit this place, come to our house. Constant demand. But often he went away because his relationship with the Father was more important than all of that. You see, it's the things that we do for God are not the most important things in our lives. It's our relationship with the Lord that's more important, not the things that we do. God just likes to have us around, even if we're not doing anything. So our relationship, taking time to slow down and to listen. Now, each of us, we're all different, but this principle is the same. You know, sometimes some people are morning people, some people are evening people, some people are don't know what, maybe both or in between. It doesn't really matter when you do it or how you do it, as long as you do it. And that will fluctuate probably from time to time. I tend to be a morning person. I like to get up in the morning, have my breakfast, sit down and have a bit of a quiet time and just read and pray and think. That suits me. It suits me now, but it wasn't always like that. When I was at home farming, milking cows, I would stop milking cows at 6 o'clock in the morning. And so it was often then late at night or later in the evening when I would be able to sort of sit down and listen. Whatever suits, whatever fits your lifestyle. And that will change and fluctuate as time goes on. Each of us have to find the best way to make it work in our lives. Sometimes it's good to set aside extra time to listen to God. Perhaps to go away for a few days. I used to do that, especially before I retired. I'd go up to Rothbury, my friend's cottage there, for a few days, just to get away. Because I don't think I was the busiest person in the world, but get away from the phone, get away from people, you know, just dropping in, and things that, you know, if you want to listen to God, we have to sort of shut other things out. And we live in a very technological world. You know, if you can imagine, or I don't know how many, but in the last, I was going to say 50 years, even in the last 30 or 40 years, there have been so many inventions made, so many technological developments made, and most of them, many of them, the whole purpose of their of them all is to give us more time. You know, we've got computers that go faster so that we have more time to go faster. We end up going faster too. You know, busyness just seems to be kind of endemic. And the more things you have to keep you not so busy, the more busy we get, because we've got to look after them all. You know, in Jesus' time, life was lived at a much slower pace than it is today. It was a sort of an agricultural society. There were no telephones. There was nobody, not even the post office could send a telegram. There was no radio, there was no TV, there was nothing like that. Everything was much slower. But Jesus still needed to get away to talk to the Father, because there are people, and he loved people. He loves us. But there are times when we even need to get away from our friends in order to listen to the friend that's closer than a brother. Taking time. As I said a moment ago, we live in a very technological world. And, you know, because of that, the world has become, in one sense, much smaller. Of course, it's still the same size as always been. But many of you probably have smartphones. You can switch on your smartphone and find out what's happening in China at the minute. You can find out what the weather's like. Yeah. And all of that kind of information is available freely. Now, there's lots of good things about that, of course. But there are some things that are not so good. If we can contact anywhere in the world almost at any time, it also means that the world can impact on us almost at any time. So we can be bombarded with information from all over the world at any moment in time if we allow it to happen. Doris and I were doing some shopping last week in town, and I like sometimes to sit in Eldon Square. If she's in the shop, let her get in and have a look around. And I sit and I watch people. You know, all the droves of people going past. And you figure that's a mum and daughter and granddaughter. You know, also just interesting watching people. But one of the fascinating things is the other day I was just noticing how many young people there were there. The schools were still off. How many young people were there? And there was dozens of them. They were all talking to each other, and they were walking along and talking and going here and going in other shops. But at the same time, they were all on their phone. Even though they're talking to one another, but they were still, you know, texting and listening and, you see, doing it all. It seems as if it was impossible for them to have any time where they weren't on their phone. Now, in one sense it's funny, but I think it's rather sad as well, because those kids are going, and it's going to get worse. Going to get worse. Because how can you learn to listen if you are constantly being bombarded with information? We have to learn to slow down, switch off, or switch some things off at least. In order to listen to God. That's the key. Slowing down, switching things off. Now that takes practice. And it takes time. It doesn't happen overnight. It's not. We can make a New Year resolution that I'm going to take more time this year to listen to God. But the only way to implement that is to do it little by little. As I said a moment ago, I usually have a time in the morning. I was just thinking this morning, I could spend more time, even if I spent an extra 5 minutes or 10 minutes, rather than, you know, kind of going through my routine. God may have some other things that he wants to talk to us about. Jesus developed a rhythm in his life where he balanced his giving out in ministry to his receiving from the Father. Listening to the Father. It's easy to think of prayer as talking to God, and of course it is talking to God. But if it's only that, then it's very inadequate prayer, because real prayer and a real relationship is talking and listening. Yeah. It's a communication. Yeah. Not just talking and asking for things. There's nothing wrong with that, but it's talking and listening. Lord, have you got anything you want to say to me today? Someone has said that the acquaintance of the Almighty is not made hurriedly. And that's true. And if ever there was a time, and again, I'm just saying, going back to the basic simple things at the beginning of another year. Yeah. You know, if we just do the simple things to the very best of our ability, we'll be a lot better off. And not to get too sophisticated about thinking we have to do marvelous, wonderful things. You don't. Just listen to what God has got to say and ask him. Give time to listen. Give time to just talking to him and shutting out those other things. I used to sometimes, I don't do it now when we had a dog, I used to go take the dog for a walk.
Yeah.
And I would walk around the country and I would talk to the Lord and listen. And just in order to get away from people. But it was often cold in the winter time. It didn't feel like going.
That's right.
I wished I could live in Palestine or Israel where it would be nice and warm. I envied Jesus being able to stay out all night and not freeze to death. It reminded me, this has got nothing to do with the story I might have told you before. But when I was, after I finished Bible college, I went home to Ireland for a month and then I came to start in Newcastle. I decided in that on my way to Newcastle, I drove across to Stranraer. I decided that I would take a few days up in Scotland, just a holiday kind of thing. And one of the things that I had often thought about but never done, you know, I read how Jesus used to go out and spend the night on the mountainside with the Lord. And I thought, I'm on my own. On my way up, I was going to spend the weekend, I think, in Fraserburgh. I was going from Stranraer, so I drove up sort of Inverness way up. I think I stayed the first night in Largs? Somewhere like that. And I decided that what I'm going to do, I'm going to find, I know there are places up through sort of between Inverness and Fort William, that area, there are sort of hills and mountains, there's lots of forestry there. I said, I'll find a track, I'll go up and I'll park the car and I'll spend the night with the Lord. And so that's what I did. I found this place, drove up, it was a summer evening, and I sort of tried to settle down and thought, oh, well, I'll go out for a little walk and I'll talk to God. I couldn't get out of the car for the midges. So those jolly midges spoiled my whole plan. But the intention was good. The intention was good. I've never tried it again. And I'll certainly not try it in Scotland if I'm ever going to try it again. But it's funny. But here we are at the beginning of a new year. Now, I'm absolutely sure all of us here, we know the Lord. You've known the Lord for many years. We all have our own way, our own patterns of things that we do and time that we spend with God. And we'll have developed that over the years, whatever suits you best. And that's good. But I suggest that at the beginning of the new year, we just sort of look at it again and say, Lord, is there any ways that I could do it better? Is there anything that you want me to do that might be helpful, that would enable me to hear you better and possibly spend a bit more time listening to you? I remember once again before, when I was thinking of going to Bible college, I spent a lot of time praying then, because important things in life. I remember reading how Peter in Acts, do you remember, before he it must have been Acts 10, before he went to Cornelius' house, he said he was waiting for his meal, so he went up onto the rooftop to pray. Ah, that's a good idea. So I thought to myself, well, you know, if I've got a half an hour and it's before the dinner's ready, I'll go and find a quiet place to pray. And I did for a while. You know, I would, instead of just going in and pestering my mother and saying, is the dinner ready yet? just finding little niches of time or places where we can just spend a bit extra. But the thing that we have to do is to switch off the other things.
Yeah.
Switch off the phone, switch off your mobile, switch off or get away, leave it at home or don't take it with you, switch off the TV and just listen to what the Lord has to say to us. Because if we do that, can you imagine what a difference it would make to our lives in 2017 if we were able to hear clearly from the Lord about all the issues in our lives? I think we do hear already, but so if we could hear it a bit more clearly so that we always knew what was the right thing to do or what was the best thing to do. And that can happen. God wants to talk to us because he loves to talk to us. And he loves to listen to us, but he loves it when we listen to him. And we don't just rush around and rush off and, you know, running here, running there, running somewhere else. So the Lord bless that little simple word to our hearts at the beginning of another year. God, I ask that you'll just take these simple thoughts and help us as we embark on another year, and none of us knows what it will bring forth. But Lord, help us to be a people who are in tune with you, that we just walk that kind of way, Lord, where we are where you can whisper and we hear, like Samuel, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening, that we'll have that kind of attitude of heart, so that we will be led by you throughout the days that lie ahead. Bless every member of this fellowship. Bless the saints as they gather together week by week. In Jesus' name. Amen.